Morning sickness is a fairly common condition during pregnancy, but a more severe condition is a risk coming up in about 2% of pregnancies. It's called hyperemesis gravidarum, or HG. Unlike normal morning sickness, hyperemesis is severe, debilitating, and can last a lot longer than the first trimester of pregnancy. Untreated, it can lead to serious pregnancy complications, even death. New research has found a link between a variant in a gene for a hormone that causes nausea and vomiting, and maybe a roadmap to potential cures. We're talking about this kind of severe, debilitating nausea and vomiting during pregnancy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Have you dealt with this hyperemesis gravidarum? Did your doctors dismiss you, or at first maybe? Were you able to receive help? How did that condition affect your pregnancy, your well-being? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Marlena Faso is a medical scientist behind the new research on hyperemesis gravidarum. She's a clinical assistant professor of population and public health sciences in the Center for Genetic Epidemiology at the Keck School of Medicine at the University of Southern California. Marlena, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Your research into the causes and potential cures for this condition, obviously of interest, but it was in part inspired, I understand, by your own personal experience with this condition. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I had very severe hyperemesis gravidarum, where it was so bad that I could not eat, drink, or move without violently vomiting. This went on for weeks, and eventually, my doctor put me on 7 different medications at once, but nothing allowed me to be able to eat. And so I was put on a feeding tube, but it was too late. And eventually, I lost the baby in the second trimester. I am a scientist. I was already focused on women's health research. So I decided to look into what was known about it after that. And decided to dedicate my life to figuring out what caused it, since there was really next to nothing known about it and a lot of incorrect myths that I knew had to be wrong.
Right. Before we get into your findings, it really struck me. This is about 2% of pregnancies, obviously a very serious condition. I would think it would be an easy sell to get research funding, to get your department heads to get on board with this. No, the people didn't seem to be eager to even pursue research on this. Can you talk about what you had to overcome and where you ultimately went to get some research findings?
Yeah, so there's very little research in conditions of women, conditions of pregnancy. I think it's mostly because of the thalidomide tragedy, where in the 1950s, people were given thalidomide to treat their nausea and vomiting of pregnancy. And unfortunately, the babies were born with limb deformities. And so that really put a stop to research into this condition. And in addition to that, it was this myth that people with HG, that something psychological was going on, that still happens to be taught today, that people don't really want their babies, and ridiculous theories like that that have been perpetuated and are still perpetuated to this day. So I hope this study puts an end to that. But yeah, so I tried to get the research going and to apply for grants, and my grants were not accepted. So I ended up, I was collecting patients all this time over 10 years, speaking to patients every Friday and getting their DNA samples to do a genetic study, but I couldn't get funding to do the genetic analysis. And so I then partnered with the personal genetics company 23andMe, because they had a brilliant model where they were asking their customers to opt into research studies, and then they would ask them questions, and they already had their genetic data so that they could do the same type of analysis that I was trying to do. And they agreed, and they put in questions on hyperemesis in their survey, and it was turned out to be very fruitful. So that was the first study. It was published in 2017, where we were able to show a connection between the gene that codes for this pregnancy hormone and this appetite and nausea and vomiting hormone, GDF15. And then after that, I was able to get my patients that I was unable to get funding for before sequenced by the company Regeneron Genetics Center. And they sequenced my patients and my controls that did not have it. And then we found again that in that case, the only significant risk factor was a mutation in GDF15 and a rare variant, and a common and a rare variant we identified both happened to be in GDF15 in that study. So there's this strong link between that gene and that hormone, which we already know, knew at the time was involved in another disease called cachexia, which is a disease that even if you haven't heard of, you've seen, I'm sure, where patients die not from their cancer, but from their cachexia. They basically lose their appetite and have severe weight loss and muscle wasting. And in that disease, the cancers are producing a huge amount of the same hormone that the placenta also makes in pregnancy. So similar diseases, but one occurs during pregnancy and one occurs with cancer. So that's where we first found this link. And then for the recent paper that was just published in Nature, we figured out the mechanism.
Talk us through that mechanism now. You found this gene. It produces this hormone, a GDF, or it's responsible for production of GDF15, a mutation here. What then is going wrong?
Yeah, so it was actually really surprising. We expected that what was going wrong in these patients was that the gene was doing something to make the patient have too much of this hormone because the hormone causes nausea and vomiting. But what we found in this paper actually was that those genetic variants that we had identified, two common and one rare one, all were associated with having lower levels rather than higher levels. So this was really confusing, and I was scratching my head trying to figure out what was going on here. How could something that predisposes you to nausea and vomiting and is a hormone that causes nausea and vomiting be present at lower levels in people with hyperemesis gravidarum and predispose them? And so I partnered with an endocrinologist, Stephen O'Reilly, who's the lead author on the paper, and he is an expert in hormones. And so he had the idea that maybe this hormone acts like other hormones in that it can be desensitized. And so he tested that in mice. This is my favorite part of the paper. And he showed that you could actually desensitize the mice to the hormone, which is a feature of other hormone pathways. So basically, you can. When you give mice a high dose of this hormone, which is similar to the dose that pregnant people get, it causes the mice to stop eat or lower their into food intake and lose weight. But if you give them a smaller dose, a little dose of it prior to that, you can desensitize them. So those mice that were given the small dose prior to the high dose, they did not have any appetite loss or weight loss compared to the controls that were not given the priming dose. So then we looked at the reverse, which was looking in humans. We found that in humans there is a condition called thalassemia, and in that condition, patients have lifelong high levels of this hormone. The hormone doesn't only occur during pregnancy. It also is produced at high levels in states where your body is under physical stress. So when you have an infection or a disease, any kind of weakened state, it's sort of the body's way, we think, to signal that you're more likely to survive if you rest and recover rather than go out searching for food, which was probably very useful during our hunter-gathering stage for the survival of our species. But now when driving to the market is not a very risky thing. We don't probably need this anymore, but it still exists. So
we'll pick up that thread in just a moment. We have to take a quick break. We're talking about a condition that causes severe nausea and vomiting during pregnancy with Marlena Faiso from the University of Southern California, a lead researcher on a big finding on the causes of this fairly common condition. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about the causes of hyperemesis gravidarum, which causes potentially life-threatening nausea and vomiting during pregnancy. Marlena Faiso is with us, lead researcher on a big finding on this condition. She's with the University of Southern California. Let's bring on a caller now. Lisa is with us in St. Paul. Lisa, hi.
Hi, Dr. Faiso. I just wanted to thank you so much for doing this research. I actually had HG in my pregnancy 14 years ago, and I took part in your study, mailed my samples of saliva and other medical records from St. Paul and took part in one of your early studies. And I just want to thank you so much for everything you've been doing in this area.
Lisa, thanks so much for sharing that. Marlena, people like Lisa have been a big part of your research findings.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful to all the participants. I mean, some of these participants called me from their hospital beds to participate. So, or they have small children or they're pregnant and ill. So I couldn't have done this without them. And I'm really grateful that they participated in the study and we finally got here.
Lisa, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. Now, Marlena, I want to pick up. You mentioned, you know, we've got this finding, this gene that leads to people having this GDF15 hormone that's causing the nausea and vomiting during pregnancy. Now, maybe treatment. You were talking about sort of pre-treating mice to avoid the worst impact. And you were talking about now there are some people who have a higher level of this hormone. What happens then when they get pregnant?
Yeah, so that's the fascinating thing is that those people have either no nausea and vomiting at all, or a few of them had very little levels of nausea and vomiting. So now we can see that it looks like we should be able to prime people with this condition when they want to get pregnant again by increasing their levels of GDF15 prior to pregnancy to decrease their sensitivity to the hormone when it rises rapidly during pregnancy. So hopefully we can test that. So that's one approach to prevent HG by increasing the levels prior to pregnancy. And then during pregnancy, we are looking at approaches to decrease the hormone or block it from binding the receptor during pregnancy to decrease the nausea and vomiting during pregnancy.
Now, I know this is still in early stages, but I'm wondering how this would work. We wouldn't necessarily know until someone's pregnant if they're going to have this. Are you thinking, well, maybe we have a thing where we do a genetic screening? Do you have this mutation? If so, then we try this GDF15. I know it's not exactly inoculation, but a preparation?
Yeah, so we're looking into that, and we're not quite there yet because most of the risk variants were identified in people of white European descent. So I'm trying to get funding to look more broadly at the variants so that we can have a genetic screening test that works for everyone. But we also can test people that have had a prior pregnancy. So many people who have hyperemesis decide not to go through pregnancy again because it's such a horrible experience for them and decide to limit their family size. So those people, they contact the HER Foundation all the time, the Hyperemesis Education and Research Foundation, asking if there's anything new out there to prevent them from having it again. So they're definitely, there's a high recurrence risk. And so those people would be the people that we would start the approach with. to see if we can sort out the details with them and get it working well. And then we can try to go into helping more people more broadly, even before they've ever had an experience with HG.
And Marlena, in just our last minute or so, today, if somebody's diagnosed with this hyperemesis during pregnancy, do we have anything in our toolkit to help them out at least a little?
Yeah, so I mentioned the HERF Foundation, and I highly recommend people go to hyperemesis.org and check out. They have so many resources and tools for people to share, protocols that people can share with their provider. There are medications that can help, IV fluids. There is also, I always say people should take thiamine or vitamin B1 because there is a rare but dangerous side effect that can occur, or condition that can occur if you don't have enough vitamin B1. So that's another thing I recommend. But yeah, there's many resources on the website of the HERF Foundation. So that's the best place to go, I think, Marlena, and support as well.
Marlena, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for sharing your research with us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Marlena Faiso, Clinical Assistant Professor of Population and Public Health Sciences in the Center for Genetic Epidemiology at the Keck School of Medicine at the University of Southern California. She talked to us about her research on hyperemesis gravidarum, a potentially severe condition a lot of people face during pregnancy, and her big research findings on that.